from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Monday, Reaction Monday, a lot to react to from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or if you're a Godfather fan, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Either way, happy Monday to you. A beautiful snowy day in Nashville, Middle Tennessee. Zach, are you enjoying every moment of it?
You know, you understand the layout of the studio, so I'm looking out the window right now. And we can't see the ground. We're high above Nashville here in the studio. And so I'm worried that the more snow I see, the more it's getting piled up. I don't know what it looks like on the roadways, but.
It's not at all?
Okay.
It was too hot. Like, I have some in my flower bed, and that's about it.
Oh, no.
I made the smart decision, by the way, to cut the grass one last time, trim the hedges one last time, put the lights on yesterday. Because I can tell you right now, when it's cold like this, forget about it. It just wasn't going to happen this year. So I'm glad I took advantage of it yesterday.
I was ready to stop having grass being green in my house. So I went out last weekend and put my mower on a one, and I buzzed the entire yard because I was just trying to kill it. And now it's coming back all luscious and green. So hopefully this kills it for goodness sakes. I'm done with this grass.
All right, so help me understand. So it was okay for Denver to play their game at home yesterday against the Saints, and yet here we are moving the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game yet again. It will now be played Wednesday instead of Tuesday. Explain the rationale from the NFL headquarters on this one.
The Denver Broncos are terrible this year. And so they're like, well, our 10-0 team, Steelers and the Ravens, it's a good matchup. It's favoritism. This is 100% favoritism. There's no actual reason why this game should have been played, and they shouldn't have put the Broncos in that situation. But Broncos aren't bringing as much money as the other two teams. So that's what it cares about.
You know, look, it reminds me back in the day, the Florida State Seminoles had a freshman quarterback, Chris Ricks. Well, he overslept, and the way it worked, Florida State was on the semester system. So to be eligible for a second semester, you still had to pass the first semester. Well, since he got an incomplete on a final that he overslept on, he wasn't eligible. Florida State had no quarterbacks. Guess who was the starting QB when Anquan Boldin at wide receiver against the Georgia Bulldogs in the Sugar Bowl that year?
Who was that?
No, it was Anquan Boldin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so here wow. He was, a wide receiver, gets to play quarterback. And it was you knew Florida State wasn't going to win the game against Georgia, but it was a decent score. But, here's Florida State was a huge disadvantage. But that made no sense to me yesterday. So you have that, but you keep pushing back this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. And I understand it has implications as far as the lead atop the NFC North. AFC North. I get all of that, but still, that's just ridiculous.
Well, and really, if you think about it, it really doesn't have that many implications. Because even if the Steelers lose, right, they're 10-1, they're still on top of the division. It could play out later, but I don't know.
Still, this is 3 games. It's not, with 5 games to go, the lead's only 3.
Right,
so
right.
Anything can happen, and then they split the season series. So you say that. How many teams have folded in the second half? Not expecting Pittsburgh to do it, but let's just say Ben Roethlisberger does the COVID-19 thing and he misses 2 games, maybe even 3. Changes the complexity of the entire situation, does it not?
It does. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand it because now you look at it too. This is an important question as well. What does this do for fantasy implications, right? There's a lot of money that goes into fantasy.
Well,
you're going near
game,
your playoffs.
Well, that game technically counts as still this week. So you
right.
have to, everybody's got to play the wait and see game.
But you have your waiver wires, right? So waiver wires end up not being able to run because you'll have games on Thursday.
They're not concerned about that. They're concerned about the almighty dollar getting this big game.
Hey, fantasy's a lot of money for them, So I don't know.
They're more concerned, however, about that.
It's just everything's wackadoo right now about all this.
Look, and just like each week. I mean, now we're getting Alabama LSU this Saturday night. I mean, we're getting changeovers. Explain to me how how Vanderbilt can play tight games, including to Florida last week, and then get embarrassed on Saturday on the road to Missouri.
I can tell you why. It's because I thought Vanderbilt was going to cover those points against Missouri, and that's
Me
two
too.
Weeks in a row that Missouri.
I actually picked them as, you know, so there was, I picked Oregon State. So before the weekend, you know, I always like to pick, you know, a huge upset on Thursday, Friday, and then a huge upset on Saturday. You know, not just a to cover, but to win outright. I had Oregon State picked to beat Oregon Friday night. That came through. I had Vanderbilt not only to cover, I actually had them getting their win. Mm. And how dumb was that pick? Speaking of which, look, create a special award for the week. Do something special. Just do a nice commissioner's recognition for Sarah Fuller. I get all that. But don't steal an award from somebody more deserving as far as with what they did on Saturday on the football field. Yeah, great, Sarah Fuller. I get all that. First woman ever for a Power 5 conference team playing in a game. I get that. She kicked off once. Great. Do a special recognition. She got a lot of love and recognition nationwide. But don't steal an award from somebody that actually earned it and deserved it on the football field. And that's because it might be their only chance to get the award. Whether, you know, there's 13 other schools, somebody had better credentials to deserve it. I mean, we're not talking player participation trophies here. So do a special recognition. I understand that. That's fine. But don't steal an award from another player more deserving on the football field. Don't play politics with awards like this.
Yeah, it's more Vandy's fault, right? Because they set her up to come in, and that's great. It's great that she did what she did, and she's a starting point for that sort of thing. It's just the thing that got to me a little bit was Vandy comes in, and they have this kicker, and they make her kick a directional kick. They don't even let her just kick, right?
They wanted her to do a pooch kick.
Exactly. And it was designed. She did exactly what the coaches wanted her to do, which is great. But if you're not if you're a casual football fan and you don't know directional kicks or squib kicks, whatever, you don't know about your instant thought when you saw that kick, oh, well, she can't kick the ball very well. That's your instant thought. And Vandy set her up to have that. Now, the award comes out. It is what it is. I understand why they did it. I understand why they gave it to him. I'm not thinking I agree with it, but I understand why they do that. I just can't believe Vandy didn't let her come out and show off her leg a little bit, because Lord knows she can kick it more than 20 yards.
Well, here's the thing. What they should have done is send a quick memo if the communications department was in communications with the coaching staff to actually communicate something to the announcers to say, look, this is what's going to happen. So I just want to give you the heads up. When it does, you know she's not showing her leg. She is just going to do a pooch kick. That way there's no chance of return, because Missouri has a great ability to return kicks. And they have a nice – that part of their game is their specialty. So I get that, but at least set it up where the announcers know what she's going to do instead. Because I said, hey, my wife and I were getting ready to do something, and I said, let's just stop here for just a second and watch this, because this is history. And then she was like, and she's a huge football fan. Very disappointed today because she's also a huge Auburn football fan. But I you know, digress as far as that. But she goes, oh, okay. That was her reaction to Sarah Fuller's kick. But right. If that was the case, if that was the plan, then they should have communicated that to the announcers so they could, just as it was happening, they could say what was going to happen.
It was kind of crazy.
How hard is that?
It shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been that hard.
Be proactive with your thing, because everybody knew she was going to kick off in the second half. So if you knew that part, be proactive and talk to the announcers and say, look, this is what's going to happen, so you can explain it so people won't be making fun of that kickoff.
And I mean, it had, like, once again, if you just had the base just looking at what the play was and you didn't know anything, you had somebody holding the ball up and she had to kick it like that. It's just, why did Vanderbilt? It's honestly what it is the most Vanderbilt way to do that whole thing. It was
botched
the most
totally botched it
completely,
just totally botched.
But
it.
Congratulations to her. I mean, it's amazing she's got that opportunity.
Look,
to do
the story.
This.
No, I love the story. I love what it represents. But at the same time, don't make it political. And the SEC office made it political. They should have done some special recognition, which certainly, I mean, just throw this out there. If it was that significant, which it is, then why is she just getting special teams player of the week? I mean, give her something noteworthy that's exceptional, that's never, you know, done. Maybe it's done once every 5 or 10 years. A special commissioner's weekly honor for something special. You know, maybe a player helping another player who's broken their leg or whatever and didn't take advantage of the situation. You know, whatever it is. But don't do that. And don't steal an award from somebody that actually deserved it and that award was taken away from them. You go and you say, well, it does. It's just a weekly honor. So what does it matter in the first place? It matters because in 20 years, 30 years down the road, that punter, that kicker who had a special November 28th day in 2020 in a strange year of 2020 can talk to their grandkids, can talk to their kids and go, remember that day? You know, that, you know, just one of the, everything just fell into place and I helped my team to victory and I was honored by the SEC. Instead, the award was stolen from them by the SEC office for political reasons, and I can't stand that. There. Get off my chest.
Good, because I disagree. I mean, I think no matter what anybody's day was, even if you had a kicker go out and set the SEC record for most field goals in a game or a punter, punt one outside of the stadium. I mean, she's stepping on the field doing what she did, even though I can't believe Vandy put her in that situation. I think it's worth
it's
the SEC player of the week.
They made it look like a player participation honor then by doing that. Because did she do anything as a player other than kick that was significant? When she kicked the ball off, everything else is measured by what she accomplished, right? She did not accomplish enough to win the special teams player of the week. Did she deserve something like a special commissioner's recognition? Absolutely, but not that. Because I think it really does a disservice to women, honestly. I truly believe that.
So you're kind of saying, though, well, okay, let me try to explain it out. So you're kind of saying that we need to make it normal for women on the field to where they're just subjugated as their performance on the field, not the fact that they're on the field.
I think you can honor her, recognize her nationwide, whatever. Next time we have the ESPYs, do a special recognition. That's great. Special commissioner's honor from the SEC office. But don't take away from awards that are awarded by excellence on the football field itself, by actually achievements on the football field. Just by showing up and doing that, you don't deserve that award. You deserve something different. In so many ways, it's kind of embarrassment from the SEC to just give her that instead of a special recognition.
Look at it from the SEC side, and that is they finally were able to give Vandy something. No, I mean, that is they probably blew off dust off the manila folder.
Wait, with the 40-plus million each and every year that the 14 teams get, right, how about maybe taking a few dollars here and there from the other 13 teams and pooling it together to help Vanderbilt improve their facilities? How about that?
I just can't believe they fired.
If they really want to give Vanderbilt something instead of a special teams player of the week honor, how about them actually maybe pitching in, getting a few dollars here and there, improving those facilities?
I just can't believe they fired their head coach on a week that he had the SEC special teams player of the week.
I go back and said all along, you know, it's how the team performs down the stretch. And look, if they had played Tennessee, my guess is I still would have picked them to beat Tennessee on Saturday. I think emotionally they were gearing up for that game when it was taken away, and instead, on a short notice, they have to now go to Missouri instead of hosting Tennessee on Saturday night. It impacted them emotionally, and they didn't show up for that game on Saturday. And I think that's really it comes down to that.
That was a shocking one, though. I was like, just kept watching them score. Kept watching them score, and I thought to myself, well, Ken Seals will do something on the offensive side.
We kept watching and waiting, but that never materialized.
Never. I mean, just get on the other side of the field and let her try for a place kick. Lord, do something
and
on the other
way,
side.
By the way, and I don't think I have to say this, because my track record speaks for itself, going back to 08 doing what I'm doing now, but also all my days, all my years working in college athletics and in sports, and the time and dedication that I put into promoting female athletes in women's programs. So I say that to go back to, I think this was a disservice to everything around as far as the way the SEC recognized Sarah Fuller. A total disservice. I think it's a total disservice to an athlete that actually deserved it on the football field. And I think it's a total disservice because she wasn't given something extra special, extra recognition instead of special teams player of the week. Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, because here's the thing. Do we even talk about the special teams player of the week otherwise? No, we don't. Mm-mm. I mean, and you know, you get offense, you get defense, and then that's about where you stop. And they give about six, if I'm not mistaken. They give a freshman, they give a lineman, et cetera, et cetera. There's like six they give out, and a lot of times they don't even break it up, and they'll give like two per each award. I mean, that's the way it's done.
Well, to that point, you kind of make an argument against yourself, because then you could say that we're actually talking about special teams. So in that mode, then she did do something that was special enough to talk about, because we're talking about it.
She showed up.
The first time any woman has ever done that
in
Power 5.
Fine.
We're allowed to say that as well.
That's fine, but they made it a political award instead of something that's athletic.
Had she done more than a kickoff, and especially in that fashion?
If she kicked it,
I think
it
we
on
would
Saturday.
Have a lot more to argue about.
I said it on Saturday as I was previewing the game. What if this game comes down? Because, you know, the way we broke the game down, it literally could have come down to a 30-yard field goal attempt for Vanderbilt to win the game, mm-hmm. right? Especially the way they've been playing against Florida and Kentucky. So if it had come down to something like that and she kicks the field goal, absolutely. Give it to her, but not by just showing up. You design a special award. This is not the one you give her, Special Teams Player of the Week.
Oh, Vandy right. was salivating for that to possibly happen,
I
too.
Yes. Well, we all were. Thank you very mm-hmm. much. No one wants to see an offer for our team here in Nashville.
No.
All right, Jeff in the Borough, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Hello, Jeff.
Well, I think it's fine what you got, so don't have no problem with it, you know. They're the SEC. They do what they want to. They don't call up Ballpark Franks and ask him what awards to give. So,
well, they do reach out to me, though, so I'll just say that. You know, if I have a question, I'll send it to them, and they'll reach out, bam, just like that.
They don't care what you think. They don't care what you think. So,
how do you know? Have you asked them?
No, they'll do what they want to. They're in Birmingham, Alabama. They'll do what they want to. They're not worried about Ballpark Franks in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, good. So they don't have no problem with everything I just said, then?
No, they sure don't. They do what they want to. Just like Nick Saban gets everything he wants, got the buyers.
What if everybody nationally said what they really thought about this, though? What if ESPN? What if the SEC Network? What if everybody from West Coast to East Coast said exactly what I just said and actually believes what I just said? How do you think the SEC office would then respond? Instead, most folks are afraid to even take on subjects like this. They go, oh, no, that's too controversial, so I'm not even going to talk about it. Well, I'm here to talk about it because I'm not afraid of anything.
Well, that's true. But I just want to say there'll be two teams there. They're going to close out the regular season in the SEC, Kentucky and South Carolina, that had no coach.
Well, they're not closing out the regular season. There's regular season games going on until December 19th. We've got regular season games the 5th, 12th, and 19th, even the day of the SEC championship games being played.
Those two teams' regular season is going to be done after Saturday. We ain't worried about them. I'm talking about they had no COVID issues, ballpark. See, Mullen and Saban got that virus. See, Stoops and Muschamp didn't get it. You understand? So Alabama, LSU, virus. Tennessee, Texas, A&M, virus. Vanderbilt, Missouri, virus. Okay?
Johnny Franks, virus.
That's right. You got that right. We didn't cancel any of our games. We could have told Alabama and Florida, we ain't coming there. We got COVID protocols and injuries. We're not going to play yet.
Hey, Zach, at least I did one show after testing positive. I felt really proud of that one Monday show with the help of steroids, and then reality set in.
You coughed really hard in the mic one time, but we won't talk about that.
Well, I thought it was disconnected. I thought I had turned it off.
But now they're going to close out, and so hopefully Kentucky wins another one on Saturday. They're a 13-point favorite against South Carolina, and on Saturday night it'll be in Lexington and everything, and hopefully they can win on Saturday, and also ballpark. Will Florida State be playing Saturday? Are they going to cancel again?
I don't think Florida State's going to play the rest of the year. I really don't know if they can get another game in or not before the season's out.
So are they going to cancel for more kickoff and say virus? That's what they're going to do. We got the virus. We can't
play. They didn't write the rules the ACC put out there. You know, they're just following the protocols that the ACC put up. Every conference did their own little thing.
The Dabo Sweeney was right about FSU. They're scared. They're scared to get the beating coming to them. That's what the mouse do. They're scared to get the beating coming to them.
Really?
They knew they were going to get the
That's your story.
See you, ballpark. Have a good day.
Jeff.
At least he said have a good day.
Well, that's like when somebody gives somebody a compliment over and over, and then they throw out the word at the end, but you can just forget about everything before that. You know, all the compliments, whatever things, you can just throw that away.
With all due respect.
So if you say, but, or with all due respect, you can just forget about everything that was said up until that point.
That ain't worth a velvet painting of two whales getting it on. What movie is that from? Do you know what that's from?
I've got a velvet oil painting of Elvis out there somewhere.
Oh, there you go.
Anybody want that? Hey, those are very popular this time of year. You know,
are they,
you know,
really, though?
You know, if you go to Publix or Kroger or any of your favorite supermarkets, you're in line and you've got those instant little last minute ideas like the Tic Tacs or the candy bars, you know, to keep little Johnny or little Zach quiet. So here's a candy bar. Well, it's just like this time of year, those things pop up, not in snowy weather like today, but they pop up on the side of the road. So you too can have a velvet painting of Elvis right before Christmas.
Wow.
Nothing says Merry Christmas like a velvet oil painting, one of those, or velvet painting rather, of Elvis to hang into your favorite room.
Oh, well, finally I can decorate it properly. Gosh.
Does the Elvis estate get credit for those, or is that one of those things that's in public domain because of Elvis was so big?
Lord, I have no clue. Who knows? You know, I always wonder about that, too. Like, who, you know, we just had the Michael Jackson on HBO thing where it was, you know, it was talking about, who deals with that legal issue or anything that's still going on where they can say Michael Jackson? Or that's always made so crazy to me when all these people are dead and gone
figures,
for so long.
Public figures, you can say a lot and you can do a lot. But you can sell more if you have it's backed by the Elvis estate.
Hmm.
And that's when it costs more, because then they get their license fees and everything else.
Uh-huh. Whoever runs that, congratulations. It's a fun job, I bet.
All right. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. A lot to get to. Vanderbilt, who's going to be the new coach? What are they looking for? What are they going to do to help the new coach be successful? Tennessee Titans, did anybody see that coming yesterday other than the Titans players? I mean, not that the Titans won, but the fashion that they won and the way they just put a beating down on the Indianapolis Colts, that was a major happy. Did you see that, by the way, coming?
So, yes. Do we have enough time? Should we wait to come out of the break?
Let's talk about it on the other side of the break. All right. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic here on 24 westbound as you come past James Robertson Parkway here in Ellington Parkway as well. A crash with injuries over in Hermitage, tying up Maxwell Road at Laverne Couchwell Pike. Avoid that area. It looked like a crash in Midtown at Burton Boulevard, at Hillsboro Pike. To cater your next holiday party, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When you're Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, this is Jack Gentry from the George Plaster Show, and if you're looking for gift ideas for this upcoming holiday season, look no further than my friend Colby Gaddis with the Gaddis Vault.
Hey guys, my name is Colby Gaddis, and I'm here to tell you about the Gaddis Vault. It's a business that I began over this quarantine season. I have the opportunity to bring you guys custom fine jewelry at 60% off of the retail prices. And why is it that we can do it that way? We do everything privately. I've seen the markups on diamonds at your average brick and mortar store, and that's why I set out to do things differently. You can message my team on Facebook or Instagram with an idea of what you're looking for, and I promise that we'll take care of everything. Better yet, if you already have found the perfect piece, engagement ring, wedding band, diamond necklace that you found somewhere else, I guarantee that we can make the same thing for less. We also have some of our own products available now that you can find on our pages that would make for the perfect gift for your significant other this Christmas season. Again, my name is Colby Gaddis with Gaddis Vault. That's G-A-D-D-I-S Vault, and let me be your diamond guy.
At the Home Depot, get Black Friday pricing now through December on great gift ideas for any doer on your list, like a Ryobi Impact Drill Driver Kit for just $99, was $129. Save on top tools, appliances, the latest in smart home tech, even holiday decor to light up the living room or bring joy to the neighborhood. Black Friday savings. In-store, online, store-wide. Gift-giving, improved. From the Home Depot, how doers get more done. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Temperatures falling throughout the afternoon. Rain changes over to snow showers and wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Overnight tonight, slight chance of flurries up until midnight. Mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures drop to the mid-20s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you, Zach Williams, as well. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. Coming up a little bit later this hour, Eric Bacharach to talk Tennessee as far as the Titans as they took down Indianapolis on the road yesterday. He's the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. Just after 5, we'll look at a recap of Week 12 with two more games still to go tonight, Monday Night Football, and then Wednesday night with Pittsburgh, the Steelers, and Baltimore. In case you didn't hear, the game that was scheduled for Thursday, then moved to Sunday, then moved to Tuesday. Now it's moved to Wednesday as far as this week. And then around 5:35, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. All right, so the question we were talking about going into the break about the Titans. Look, I had a tough time picking which way I thought that game would go. I went with the track record of the Colts against the Titans over the last decade plus. So they get the win. And, you know, I could see and make the case for either way. It was the way they won the game, and the game certainly didn't ever seem in doubt for the last half plus in that contest.
Well, you're right. I think everybody was pleasantly surprised how the game went, at least here in Nashville. But had you asked me before week one, right, what we thought would have been the preseason, and said, could the Titans beat the Colts like this? Absolutely. I absolutely would have thought that. Had you asked me 2 days ago before this, I wouldn't have thought so. And that's the frustrating part about what we've seen about this Titans team so far. It's that they have the ability to do what they do, like they did against the Bills and like they did last night against the Colts. They can win games like that consistently. But the inconsistency has been the biggest problem for them.
It drives me absolutely crazy about this team.
They have the highest ceiling in the NFL, in my mind, of scoring. And it's a very simple way, but it almost seems like they try to overthink their game plan. Give the ball to Henry as much as you can, as early and often as you can. That should be the game plan. And don't use him as a decoy. Don't use him as this, you know, part that you're going to make it seem like you're going to go to him. Use them. And when it happens, this kind of game can happen for the Titans week in and week out. But they choose to not do that. That's frustrating.
Well, remember, you go back to the way the inconsistency with this team, allowing the Bears to have that fourth quarter and made it a lot more uncomfortable than it should be. The second half performance against the Colts when they played here three games ago here in Nashville, and the way they took over that game with the special team woes. And so just when you start, you know, buying into what the Titans are doing after their 5-0 start, then they lay eggs. And it's like, okay, which team are we going to get? And that's the part where if you want consistency, if you want runs in the playoffs, you got to have that consistency or your run in the playoffs would be very short.
And I think people need to understand that, you know, yes, there was no DeForest Buckner, which I thought was a huge plus for Derrick Henry.
Huge problem for the Colts in that game.
And this team is still a good team. That Colts team is still a good football team, regardless of the pieces they were missing. They're still a strong team. They had, you know, their offense for the most part, besides Jonathan Taylor, was out there, even though he wasn't that effective the first time the Titans played him. It was all Nyheim Hines. Titans did a great job of corralling Nyheim Hines in that one. Once again, this team can win like this consistently. It's just you can't say for sure that they're going to show up next week against Cleveland. That's going to be a big game. The Cleveland Browns are not a bad team. They're a good team. They're the same record as the Titans, too, by the way.
And remember, they will also remember what happened the last time the Titans and Cleveland took on each other up in Cleveland. They will remember that.
Exactly. So, you know, can we come out and say, okay, yes, we saw this Titans team and the way they play. Are they going to do the exact same thing against the Cleveland Browns? Absolutely not. There's no way we could have that guaranteed consistent thought because this team has been just that inconsistent. And if I'm a Titans fan, I'm bashing my head against the wall every week, wondering why. Where has this team been against some of these different games that we've seen so far? Where did the team in the second half of that Ravens game been that now all of a sudden they're starting to catch a little fire going through the playoffs? So we can hope that that just kind of keeps translating going towards the playoffs. But you look at their upcoming matchups. Derrick Henry has one of the best matchups on the ground. You got Detroit, you got Green Bay coming up, Cleveland also another team.
Well, before we get that, you get Cleveland this week, but then you have to go at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a scary team. You know, they're not winning games. They've lost 10 straight, but they're in every game, it seems like. And defensively, they're going to give you a battle.
Oh, 100%. 100%. But they can be ran on. And that's the thing. That's, once again, this is where the Titans can, I mean, it's just, don't overthink it. Run the ball with Henry as early and as much as possible in the first half, because it pays huge dividends in the second half.
We were seeing that, though, remember, and teams were catching up, like the Bears, and you look at the teams that, you know, had certain numbers coming into the game as far as rush defense, and they were outperforming what they had done previously when they would take on the Titans' run attack. And, you know, a lot of the issues was with the left side of the line after Taylor Lewan went down. And so it's not as simple as that. Some teams are going to have better fortune of stopping the run game than, say, like we saw with Indianapolis yesterday. So you better be prepared to adjust immediately and just don't just get caught up in the run Henry thing, because that could also cost you in the sense that you fall behind. You know, here's early on yesterday, the fact that Indianapolis could not keep up with the Titans, matching them score by score. They were doing it, and then, you know, a key turnover. So then from 14-14, it went to 21-14, and just like that, what, 28-14? And then, you know, starting the third quarter, they were down by three touchdowns. So then you go, how are we going to respond now? Are we going to keep doing what we're doing and just, you know, get within, you know, two scores for the fourth quarter? Or do you change and try to get it all back all of a sudden? Because remember, they also had to play catch up the week before against the Green Bay Packers, and it paid off for them last week when they were able to win in overtime. That was not the case yesterday.
Well, and, you know, go back to the first Colts matchup as well. In that game, if you remember early on, the momentum swung huge when A.J. Brown had a drop 70-yard touchdown in his hands. What does he do this time? He catches it. So that, you know, once again, that pays dividends as well. The passing game, we know the passing game has to be there to help the running game. That's on every football team. And so seeing A.J. Brown do the thing that he needed to do, which is hit his home run play.
A superstar. If he's not a superstar, he's knocking on that superstar door. He's having his star ordered, put it that way.
Yeah, the wide receiver class coming up is just, it's insane what they've been able to do right now. But yeah, I mean, so who knows? Maybe if he catches that 70-yard ball in the first matchup, that we start seeing the running lanes open up even more for Henry in that game the first time the Colts get met up. But that drop kind of hurt them a lot to, you know, settle the defense in for the Colts a little bit. And it's just little shifts like that you wouldn't think would cause a complete butterfly effect for the Titans to win or lose big in a game, but that's what we've seen so far against the Colts. And also, you can go to the old adage too, that the interdivision matchups are always going to be more challenging and all these different things. But the simple fact is, finally, it looks like the Titans are cresting the hill of winning in the AFC South, which has always been their biggest Achilles heel.
And just when you say that, the energy that they take to get to this point, they throw all that goodwill out the window.
Well,
because look, they've done it. What have they done since 2016? Being in this position with four games to go, having the advantage as far as the AFC South, gave it up every year. So until you show us, and I understand new quarterback, I get all that, but until you show us that you can actually finish it, great that you're in this position going into, like with your next game, first week of December, you're in first place as far as the AFC South with advantage. But until you can show us you can finish the season strong, it's like, okay, we'll wait. We'll wait for the finished product.
Right, and, you know, once again, I'll say this again. The schedule is set up to where it's the most beneficial for the Titans offense. The running game that is going to be happening, the defense that they're going to be facing, are some of the worst in football on the run defense side, which is the biggest advantage for the Titans. So they can carry this momentum if they keep, one, Henry's healthy. That's obviously the biggest side of everything. But two, keep playing the same schemes that they're working for. Find A.J. Brown when you need to on a big play, and then work with Henry underneath. That's the game plan, I think, for the Titans going forward all the way into the playoffs.
All right, coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with Eric Bacharach, the Titans beat writer for the Tennessean. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still very heavy here on the South Loop, the West Loop, as you make your way 65 down into Williamson County. That still looks pretty good. We did see that wreck in Donaldson a few minutes ago, 500 block of Stewart's Ferry Pike. There was a wreck a few minutes ago blocking Dr. Martin Luther King at 12th Avenue at the intersection. They're still over there in Hermitage working that wreck with injuries. Maxwell Road at Laverne, Couchville Pike. Hey, to cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or simply go online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
For the one standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, your experienced safety partner, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Larson continues his winning ways here in the offseason on the dirt. AJ Allmendinger will be back at Kolleg Racing. And what's the status of Eldora Speedway and the Truck Series? That and more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Before we go to our first guest of the afternoon, Zach, you got some breaking news.
Yeah, just coming through on Twitter and from Adam Scheffner, Texans wide receiver Will Fuller announced on Instagram that he has been suspended for 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance policies.
Way to go, Will. Only in 2020.
Man, he was on a contract year. He's going to miss the rest of the season and the start of next season's first game. So he's going to miss all those games.
Somebody will still reach out to him.
Oh, for sure.
Touch him with a nice new contract for the new year.
Absolutely.
All right, so we will dissect what happened yesterday in Indianapolis because we know our next guest just knew it was going to happen. By the way, so far, and we still have the game tonight as far as Monday Night Football with Seattle and the Eagles, and we got the Wednesday night game now. In case you didn't hear, the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game been moved once again, so it goes from Thursday to Sunday to Tuesday, and now Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Central Time, with the Steelers hosting the Ravens to wrap up Week 12 of the NFL. Eric Bacharach with the Tennessean, and he covers the Titans for the Tennessean. And Eric, thank you, and welcome back as always.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for having me back on.
So let me guess. You had the score predicted. You knew the Titans were going to be one of those five teams to produce 40-plus points in Week 12, right?
Not quite, Johnny. I really don't think anybody saw what we saw yesterday coming, just based on what we saw 2 weeks ago. Now, I think a big difference right off the bat is if you could limit or totally negate the mistakes on special teams from that Week 10 game, you're right off the bat in better shape. And the Titans were able to do that yesterday against the Colts. Obviously, Brett Kern was back, and all of his punts were back inside the 20, and it kind of looked like he didn't miss a beat. And then you had Derrick Henry, just completely run over the Colts, which, it's very clear that he's capable of doing that against anybody. I mean, the Colts entered yesterday as the third-ranked run defense in the league, and Derrick Henry just went absolutely bonkers against them. So, when he's running like that, and I think just as importantly, when the offensive line is creating really big holes, that's a really powerful 1-2 punch. And it's got to be said that the Colts were missing a couple of really important pieces on defense, and that's noteworthy. But listen, the Titans were, missing a couple of key players as well. And, it's been interesting to see just this year and going back to last year, the way this offensive line, to me, how it's really started to come on, especially in the second half of each season. Last year it seemed like the unit, it took a little bit of time to get up to speed with Nate Davis in his rookie year, Roger Saffold, in his first season with the Titans. That unit took a little while to sort of get that chemistry down and get clicking at the way it was at the end of the season. It kind of seems like this year the offensive line is having a similar sort of progression as the year goes on. And I think yesterday's game was probably their best performance of the season. Just some of the holes that were created for Derrick Henry to run through, the holes at the line of scrimmage were huge. And, we know what happens when Derrick Henry hits that second level. So I think it was a really complimentary effort, from that side of things. And the defense, after two sort of not great drives to start the game against Philip Rivers and the Colts, and it really kind of looked like it was going to be the continuation of that Week 10 game from a defensive side for the Titans. It really clamped down, finally got some complimentary play on that side of the ball, with the secondary playing well and the pass rush playing well as a result and sort of vice versa. So I think it was very much a complete effort for this Titans team and very much needed, given the state of the AFC and given the state of their schedule.
By the way, with what Henry was able to do yesterday, 178 rushing yards, he is now certainly, you think about five games to go, the magic number of 2,000 rushing yards, not that unrealistic at this point for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, especially, again, when you consider that I think 200 yards is always on the table with this guy going into any game. Now, he's not going to average that, but we've seen what December can bring for Derrick Henry and, just how effective he is late in the season against defenses that, have kind of just naturally worn down a little bit. He takes full advantage of that. And when you talk about the offensive line playing its best ball, yeah, I think 2,000 yards, he's going to have to have string together a couple of really strong games, but I think it's very much on the table. And certainly, at this point, I would say, he's the runaway favorite to win a second straight rushing crown. The only person, in contention with a slight chance of maybe upsetting him would be Dalvin Cook of the Vikings, who is now more than 100 rushing yards behind Henry in that chase for a rushing title. Nobody else is close to the two of them. So, I think it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do this week against the Browns, but I think 2,000 yards is certainly on the table. We'll see what happens these next few weeks.
It's only been done seven times. Six of the seven had 16 games to do it. Derek, it would have that opportunity as long as he stays healthy. O.J. Simpson, remember, he did his when he got just over 2,000 yards. He had 2,003, but he did it when there were only 14 regular season games back in 1973. He was averaging 143 yards per contest in that particular season. But it's there. And now also what's there is that Derrick Henry is in the position. He's at least having his name mentioned as the potential MVP of the league this year.
Yeah, I think that's got to be, something that's out there. You know, I know earlier in the season, even Ryan Tannehill, was warranting that sort of line of talk from, from pundits, from fans. And, I think at the time it was justified when the Titans were 5-0. But, it's clear now that you take Derrick Henry out of the equation and this team just isn't what it is. He's the one that really puts them on their back. And, again, that's why the Titans reaching a long-term extension with him over the offseason was such a big deal. I think John
got him kind of cheap, too, by the way, when you comparing.
I think Robinson deserves, Titans general manager John Robinson deserves a lot of credit for that, for waiting Henry out, for not, splurging when, it seemed like it was certainly the right move. He really waited for Henry to come to him, and the deal ended up being 4 years, $50 million. I believe Robinson said that he would have been comfortable going into the season with Henry on the franchise tag. Instead, gets him on a really team-friendly deal. Everybody's happy. Henry was happy with the long-term extension after, talking with him after that deal was inked over the summer. It's the perfect fit. We go back to, just how good a fit Ryan Tannehill is for this offense. Same with Henry. We know the Titans' identity as far as what it likes to do offensively. It's really the perfect marriage between, scheme, system, and player. And so, I think 2,000 yards is on the table. I think MVP is on the table. We'll see how far this thing goes. But, none of the defenses coming up necessarily are, quite as imposing as they've been. When you talk about the Steelers, the Ravens, the Colts, those are three top-tier defenses that the Titans have to sort of dismantle, and Henry kind of made it look easy, in most cases. So we'll see just how good he could be these next few weeks. But I would say everything's on the table right now for sure.
Looking at the Tennessee Titans schedule in the last five and comparing it to Indianapolis, looks like it's slightly easier only because they have just the one tough opponent compared to Tennessee's two. When you consider the Titans, you have to deal with Cleveland and the Packers. So I bring it up. Are the biggest thing for me from the Titans standpoint, the playoffs look like that is certainly going to happen. The question that I have, can they finish December, which they have trouble with when they've been, now that they've been this team that could compete for a playoff spot starting in 2016, can they finish it to the point to actually wrap up the AFC South this year?
Yeah, and that's the question. It's beginning to come closer to focus, and obviously yesterday was a really big step in that regard, but you're right. I mean, they still have work to do if they want to close that out. They essentially, with the win, they have control. It's all there in front of them. I think the biggest game for sure is just the next one coming up because of, what it means as far as, that the AFC player picture goes between two 8-3 teams. And then you've got, two games that, certainly seem very winnable. The games that the Titans will be, favored by big time. When you talked about the Jaguars and the Texans, even though both of those are on the road, we'll see if the Texans game in week 17 even means anything. When you look past the Browns after that, you've got the Jaguars and the Lions. Those games, the Titans are going to be favored big. It's going to be out there in front of them to sort of seize control of the division, take care of business. It's going to be a question of, do they play down to their competition or do they take care of business and You know, that sort of line of questioning will start after the Browns game, because this is a really good Cleveland team that like I said, is 8-3, you know, in a similar position, you know, not leading the division, but they're in a similar spot as far as looking for playoff contention. So I think if they're able to win this game, and then you kind of just take a peek back at what the Titans have done the past 3 weeks with also wins over the Ravens and the Colts, you know, that's a really impressive stretch for a Titans team that, you know, a lot of us have sort of begun to question as far as, and rightfully so, you know, when it comes to the defense, the special teams, you know, they've had a way of sort of cleaning it up. And, you know, if the defense can continue to show complementary efforts like it did yesterday, I think this team is in good shape with the way the offense was humming yesterday.
Do me a favor, as always. First of all, thank you. But let the listeners know again what they can expect and how to get your information week in and week out.
Sure, you can follow all of the Tennesseans coverage of the Titans, excuse me. You go to Tennessean.com/sports/Titans.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Eric Bacharach with the Tennessean. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. We'll wrap up hour number one on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. We're looking live at this crash here, slowing it down pretty good on Briley Parkway northbound as you come past Centennial Boulevard. It's pretty busy over here in this part of town because of this accident. It's heavy 24 now east and west up by Shelby. Buddy Klein Circle, there's been a crash there at that roundabout in Midtown. It's really picked up on 40 east as you continue out into Wilson County, approaching 840. Hey, to cater your next holiday party, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
All he does is win. Another weekend, another sweep of said weekend for Kyle Larson as he crushes it at the Copper Classic in Arizona. For those keeping track at home, he's now up to 45 wins in 2020 as he prepares to return to the NASCAR Cup Series level with Hendrick Motorsports in 2021. A.J. Allmendinger will return to Colic Racing next season. However, the number of races he'll run is still to be determined. He had this to say via his social media channels recently.
What's up, everyone? I hope you all are having a great Thanksgiving weekend. Wanted to give you a quick update heading into next year, what my plans are. When it comes to 2021, I can tell you this. I will be back at Colic Racing. How many races? I don't know yet. We are working together and on my schedule and how many races will fit into my schedule next year, and especially for Colic Racing as well. So don't have a set schedule next year, but promise you, when that comes out, we'll be able to deliver that to you. And so everybody knows what racetracks we'll be at. So most importantly, have a safe and happy holiday season. Everybody take care of each other. Be safe. And hopefully next year, in 2021, all you fans will be back at the racetrack. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. Like us.
Shop Macy's Cyber Monday specials now while supplies last for big savings on great holiday gift ideas like 55% off diamond rings, earrings, and necklaces, because who doesn't want jewelry? Keep your family cozy in style with 60% off coats and sweaters, and upgrade your bedroom for cooler nights with flannel bedding, quilts, and accessories from Martha Stewart Collection, now 65% off. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hello, Mr. Crane. I'm calling about today's appointment. The tree is scheduled to fall on your RV at 2:14 today.
Any way we can reschedule? We're really enjoying our trip.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's our only opening.
Can it just be a little tree?
Let me check. No, sorry. Our file says it's a huge one.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Is it 2:14 p.m. or a.m.?
You know, I'm not sure. Can I put you on a brief hold?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Have a say in this year's Pro Bowl vote, presented by Verizon.
Mahomes gonna take off for it!
The Pro Bowl may look different this year, but the best players will still be recognized.
Best in the business, baby! Dalvin Cook!
So, who showed out?
Kyler Murray! What a strike!
Who brought the energy and the hustle?
JJ with the hit, the ball is out!
Who made the historic plays?
The speed of DK Metcalf!
Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players still earn their place on the 2021 Pro Bowl roster. Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl Vote.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. 615-844-5600. Clay in Nashville. Welcome to the show.
Johnny, how are you?
I'm awesome today. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Now, Johnny, I'm just kind of jerking your chain a little bit when I say this. But I tried to tell you the Indianapolis or the Tennessee Titans were going to go to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they won because that game was tough for me to pick one way or the other. But the way they did it, that really took me back. But I guess the week before took a lot out of Indianapolis when they had to rally in the second half to beat Green Bay in overtime. So, you know, hats off to the Titans and the way they performed yesterday.
Johnny, would you agree with me if the Tennessee Titans play like that, they can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs? They can beat anybody they play if they play the way they did yesterday.
Well, remember, they had a chance to kick the a tying field goal to send the game in overtime against Pittsburgh early. So if they made that field goal, which a kicker like they have usually makes, you know, the possibility was certainly there for an overtime win. So I'm not going to disagree with you.
Have a good day, Johnny. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. All right, coming up in hour number two, we'll have a chance to visit with our good buddy Alan Bell with Sportsline.com, getting his thoughts on the long weekend, college football, NFL. Also, Adam Sparks, the Vanderbilt beat writer with the Tennessean, will join us around 5:35. Derek Mason yesterday being let go as far as head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Now what's next for this Commodores football program moving forward? That's all coming up in hour number two. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio. WPD.